executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates. www.excelgov.com. www.excelgov.com. Newsmakers on the federal drive.
Phil Reitinger, Deputy Undersecretary of DHS's National Protection and Programs Directorate. You envision Einstein relieving CIOs of a lot of the daily operational things they have to do?
Absolutely not. There's going to be no removal of operational responsibilities from agencies. In fact, we want to go in the exact opposite direction. We want to enable the key players in the private sector and in agencies to be more effective.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Do you get enough sleep? And is it good sleep? Your pajamas may soon be able to provide data previously only available in a sleep lab. Forget about all those wires that monitor things like brain activity in sleep studies but may actually keep you from sleeping, says Thomas Lipoma of Nix Devices.
We found specific indicators that can tell us exactly what stage of sleep you're in just from your breathing.
So they've engineered a form-fitting shirt embedded with two strategically placed breath sensor pads and thread-thin wires that send data to a recorder placed in the shirt's pocket.
You can't feel the wires. The pads themselves are so thin, it's almost undetectable as you wear it.
Plug the recorder into your computer and it will upload the data to a website where you can analyze the results at home every morning. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Talk about long-term care going into the stretch. And who better to be with us than Paul Fort, Chief Executive Officer, Long-Term Care Partners. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
And with Paul is Beth O'Brien, Manager, Sales, Strategy, and Implementation. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
And this is really part two of a two-part show, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. We're in the final stretch. Open season for the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program ends on June 24th. So we have a few weeks left to make some final decisions if you're still on the fence and not sure if the program's right for you.
Okay. And co-host Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director, NITP, Weekly GovExec columnist, seminar presenter, knower of all things federal. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Bob.
And I'm Bob Lyne, still learning after a scant 28 years. So let's start off. So heading into the stretch, how's the race?
It's going really great, Bob. Really great. We've had a tremendous response to this second open season. As you know, the first one took place in 2002. It's been a long time. We think there's some pent-up demand, and people recognize that this is a very good opportunity. If they're anywhere close to retirement, they realize that they can apply for the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program using the abbreviated or short form, which asks just a few questions, health questions, which are easily answered. And we've had a lot of activity. Let me just give you a few figures to pique your interest. We've had over 325,000 unique visitors to the to our website, ltcfeds.com. We've had over 48,000 abbreviated application downloads. We've had over 321,000 hits to the rate quote calculator. We've fulfilled, upon request from feds themselves, more than 56,000 kits. through the mail. We've received tens of thousands of calls. We've conducted many, many seminars, over 600, at which we've talked to feds all over the country. And there is a tremendous interest in what we're doing.
Now, for those of you that may not know what a unique hit is, and I didn't know till about 2 years ago, that means you don't register everybody that logs on. The computer can tell that I went in there three times today, but they only count me as one unique. So 325,000 unique visitors.
Unique visitors, wow. Since we began counting this around March 1. So there's been a tremendous amount of interest in what we're doing.
As a percentage of feds, that's huge.
It is.
And also, compared to your normal flow of traffic to your website, I'm sure this is a big increase over what you normally see prior to this open season.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
working,
in the vicinity,
right?
Of 30 or 40,000.
Yeah, people are starting to get the message and learn about this. But I think, like with any open season, whether it be health insurance open season we have in the fall or when we used to have the old TSP open seasons, the tendency of human nature is to wait till the last minute. So we're here 3 weeks ahead of the end of open season, hopefully to encourage people, if they are going to act on this, to do it sooner rather than later.
Right. Fortunately, we're seeing a lot of people choosing to use the web itself. Over 75% of all the applications we're getting are actually coming in through the web. Only 25% are actually relying on paper. So using the web is fast, it's easy, it's something you can do really right up until the last minute.
Tammy brings up, I think, a good point. You mentioned the number of people that went to the rate calculator. Now, that was a large number. So people don't go to the rate calculator to kill time. There's an interest level. Mm-hmm. And that was a large number, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to say, too, is that when you do purchase a policy, it's a 30-day money-back guarantee, more or less, because you get a free look. So if you do change your mind, it's not like you've sold the farm and you're stuck with it for the next 40 years.
We call it a 30-day free look period. And it actually is important for people who feel rushed and pressured the last few weeks of open season. If you apply for and approve for coverage, once you receive your confirmation of coverage, you have 30 days to either cancel your coverage, you get your premium back, or you can make changes to your policy, and it's just as easy as picking up a phone. The only one caveat to that is if you decide to upgrade to the unlimited benefit period, there might be more health questions. But to make any other changes, you can do so within that 30 days.
So you can make the decision without feeling stressed out that it's all or nothing. I think that's a good thing, too.
Since we're talking data, there may also be some interest in what people are actually buying. Let me start. As you probably know, there are three basic choices that you have to make with long-term care insurance, and with the federal program, we try to make it easy. It's your daily benefit amount. It's the length of time that you want to have the policy work, 2, 3, 5 years, or unlimited. And then there's the method of inflation that you choose. Now, on the applications we've already received, some 40% are choosing a daily benefit amount of 150. Some 40% are choosing a daily benefit amount of $200 a day. 8% are choosing $100, and 6% are choosing $250 with lesser amounts after that. So that gives you an idea of what people are choosing for daily benefit amounts. And, of course, this is across the entire country. Mm-hmm. In terms of the number of years or the multiplier that you use with the daily benefit amount in order to calculate your lifetime maximum benefit pool. 39% are receiving, or rather have selected, the 3-year plan. No surprise, that's very popular. 30% have elected the 5-year, and 19% have elected the new 2-year offering.
Yeah, I think it's an exercise, and Beth can probably explain more about these different terminologies, mm-hmm. but I think it's an exercise of how much can I afford, how much am I willing to spend every month on a premium for this type of insurance versus when the time comes that I need care, how much is that care going to cost? And you've got to come up with some kind of happy medium that you can afford that would provide adequate benefits to make it worth having the policy.
Absolutely, Tammy, and you'll recall from our last program, we talked about the fact that one size does not fit all in long-term care insurance. It's much better to look at long-term care insurance as a facet of retirement planning. And even as you don't do just one thing in order to build a secure retirement plan, and every retirement plan is unique to the person who is building it or should be, so too with long-term care insurance. We were pleasantly surprised to see the number of people taking the two-year. Mm-hmm. That means that they are looking at this as more of a catastrophic type protection and planning accordingly.
Right. Yep.
Now, the only other thing I'll just mention mm-hmm. is that in terms of the inflation adjustments, or the inflation adjustment options that you have, 56% are taking the 4% compounded
which is kind
option.
Of the one in the middle, so that makes sense.
Yes. 31% are taking the future purchase option, and 12% are taking the automatic compounding inflation adjustment at 5%.
Now, what I would hope to see would be the ones taking the 5% are the youngest enrollees because they have the most to lose on future inflation.
That's right.
And then I would hope that the 31% taking the future purchase option would be the oldest of the enrollees because they're closer in terms of needing the coverage.
However, the average age of folks who have applied for federal and U.S. Postal Service is around 51 or so.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that 4%, it's a good number. I mean, it's a very decent increase to mm-hmm. have your benefits grow. It also makes the policy, frankly, more affordable.
It does make it more affordable. Yeah.
Is a very but suitable number.
If you look at the actual rate of inflation over the past 50 years as determined by the Consumer Price Index, Urban, which is released by the Department of Labor, the actual rate of inflation for this the package of services that long-term care consists of is 4.1%. So the big variable there is in the 70s, mm-hmm. where we had a period of unprecedented high inflation. But even then, long-term care insurance was going up about 4.7%. But if you take the 50-year view, right back to the 60s, it's 4.1. So people who have chosen the 4% option have done well.
And they should be able to maintain the value of their benefit.
According to the rate of inflation for long-term care services.
Right.
Because remember, it's not medical services. Skilled care can be a part of it, but a lot of it is custodial care, mm-hmm. a lot of it is facilities management, a lot of it is labor. Mm-hmm. And that labor is not necessarily skilled. That's why the rate of inflation for long-term care does not track precisely, say, what's going on with the cost of medical services.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this play into the three decision points what are the three decision points? Benefit period, benefit yep. amount, and inflation protection.
Yeah, well, I'll actually start off with benefit period because I want to give a little perspective on what people have chosen and how there actually are very good decisions. When I speak to people one-on-one, sometimes the benefit period is the most difficult decision to make because no one has a crystal ball. There's four choices with the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program, a two-year benefit period, 3 years, 5 years, or unlimited. Got to choose one. So we always give the perspective that the average length of stay in a nursing home, should it come to that, and it doesn't always come to that, but should it come to that is around 2.5 years. Average length of home care, which is how most long-term care occurs, 4.5 years. So we have people choosing the 3 and the 5 at 39% and 31%. So those are right in the mix, which is excellent. It's going to meet most people's long-term care needs.
Paul mentioned something last show, and I won't forget it. he said insurance is really laying off, not a bit, but, you know, that's what the bookies talk about. Not that I know a lot of bookies, but they're laying off the risk with this. So let's go back to the three-year, five-year. Can you go beyond five?
You can. You can get an unlimited benefit period that actually benefits would never run out. Thing, though, is probably too much insurance for a lot of people. I mean, we have decades worth of claims history, and claims usually don't go on forever.
So if we went 3, 5, or forever, is that the choice?
You can get the two-year, 3, 5, or forever. And now, of course, everyone knows somebody who had the misfortune of being in long-term care or requiring long-term care services and supports for a very long time. Some people will cite the example of a relative who needed long-term care because of Alzheimer's or dementia for 10 years. the unlimited is clearly geared to taking care of that kind of need, but the number of people who will experience that need is very slight. Since the risk is higher, that you would be on claim for a very long time, you will see a significantly higher premium associated with that benefit. And there's you have to do a cost-benefit trade-off. Mm-hmm. How much more are you going to be paying if you're 50 years old and you don't expect that you might need the insurance until you're 80? You're going to be paying a higher premium for 30 years for a risk that you might not run. And what we tell people is to take a look at this as they would any form of insurance. Think about those risks that are totally unacceptable and those risks that they might absorb. And, plan through savings or some other kind of vehicle as opposed to loading up on a lot of insurance that they might not need and making it a strain to pay each month.
Now, I wanted to touch on something Beth had said about the majority of long-term care actually takes place in the home rather than in a nursing home situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I think about purchasing long-term care insurance, I certainly think about the financial aspect of how much is it going to cost out of my retirement savings, out of the family's wealth. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably equally as important to think about what the cost is going to be on the caregiver. And if I can provide relief to the caregiver who is most likely going to be a family member, that's another good reason to think about this insurance.
Yeah.
In other words, if I'm relying on my children or my spouse to be the caregiver, wouldn't it be nice if they had a resource that they could hire in some help or even pay them if they're going to be my caregiver?
Yes.
So that they're giving up their job to take care of me full time.
Yes. It's not only the stress and the sacrifices mm-hmm. that can result to a family where the caregiver has been forced to cut back hours or possibly even to terminate employment in order to take care of a dependent relative. It's also the fact that, and there are studies that confirm this, that a significant number of family members actually end up paying for the care that is needed. They don't pay the whole bill, mm-hmm. but when you see figures on out-of-pocket expenditures, it is often family members who end up paying,
mm-hmm.
especially children. So when you buy long-term care insurance, you're also buying it for those family members who might have to take care of you.
That's right. As I look at it as a gift to your family to provide that resource that's going to be there to help provide for your care, for your needs.
Well, to give some perspective, my parents have long-term care insurance. It's not the federal program. They weren't eligible. But, this allows me to manage their care and be an advocate for their care, not being the person rolling up their sleeves and providing it. And there's a marked difference between supervising care for a parent or a parent-in-law, mm-hmm. and actually providing it.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, the frustration level is a lot less if you're not the day-to-day caregiver where you can be perspective and look at what they need.
Yep, absolutely.
And be there for them as their daughter.
Yep, and the reports always say that, like, family members, they never go away. They're still there, but they spend just more quality time mm-hmm. maintaining relationship roles within the family mm-hmm. rather than putting on a home health aide circumstance.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in terms of buying insurance, whether it's life insurance, homeowners insurance, health insurance, how likely is it I'm going to need that coverage, and what is the catastrophic effect if I don't have it? And I'm almost beginning to think that long-term care insurance is very similar to the need we have for health insurance, that there's a high likelihood that maybe not today or tomorrow, but at some point in our lifetime, we may experience a need for long-term care, because I just see it so much around me.
Yeah,
that's right. A recent study that was issued by Boston College's Center for Retirement Research finds that for a couple who has reached age 65, there is a very strong likelihood, I believe it's at least one-third likelihood, or three chances out of 10, that one of them will spend at least 3 months in a nursing home. And then the study goes on to say that there is the mean expected expenditure for that couple for long-term care and services and supports is something like $240,000 before either of them dies.
Mm-hmm.
So the risk is very real, and it's not something that you can easily try to fund yourself out of your own savings. Bob, you were mentioning turning over that risk to to a third party. But if you do the numbers, even for a basic plan, it's extremely difficult to save what you need to save in order to have the amount that you will need to have for long-term care if you're going to try to pay for it out of pocket. If I could just give you an example, if you take a look at the popular $150 daily benefit amount three-year plan, which with the 4% increaser, that will cost you $91.46 per month if you are 50 years old. Now, if you imagine that this person may not need long-term care at all until he's 80, that's 30 years out. It means that he will pay somewhere north of $30,000 for
those premiums.
For those premiums. If you take a look at how much he can earn on that, even at with 4% interest, it's not a great deal, and certainly would not cover a fraction of the cost of long-term care.
No, and you have to figure, too, the pool of money for that $150 a day times 365 days a year times 3 years with 4% inflation over 30 years could be an astounding
exactly.
number.
So, so right out of the gate, he's going to have $164,000 in benefits the day after his policy becomes effective. But over 30 years, it will go up by 4% each year. And he will have over $533,000 in benefits. Now you say, well, okay, but, you know, if I had that money myself, that money would be in my account, and those benefits are only going to be useful if something happens to me. That is true. That $533,000 is in the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Experience Fund, and you can't just take it and spend it on something else. But let me just I'll just finish with this. If you believe the risk is real, as clearly we do, but if you believe this risk is real, that you have a very good likelihood of needing long-term care at some point in your life, and the cost is significant, if you tried to save that save for that $533,000 target over 30 years, and you got a 4% return on your money, you would need to put aside $900 every month for the next 30 years.
Well, just look at the people who have been saving in the Thrift Savings Plan for the last 25 years, and how many of them have $500,000 saved up after 30 years.
Yeah. If you have, if you got 5%,
and they
you'd have to put aside
pre-tax.
$800. If you got a whopping 6%, which would be excellent in today's market, you'd still have to put aside more than $650 a month. And that's $650 that would have to go aside every month without fail and could not be diverted for any other purpose, however worthy. My point is simply that it is very difficult to self-fund for long-term care risk. You can purchase annuities, of course, if you can manage the interest rate risk. There are some life insurance policies that have accelerated death benefits that will pay out a portion of those death benefits for long-term care. You've got reverse equity mortgages. You've got charitable remainder trusts. There are various vehicles you can look at. But all of those require careful planning. They don't track the actual cost of long-term care expenses the way that long-term care insurance does. And they require a lot of vigilance and planning. In some instances, there are complicated
and some of them require upfront loads
of money.
Some of them
outlay of money.
Significant outlays. So if what we're talking about here largely is whether you're going to self-fund the risk, which is real, or whether you're going to turn it over to a third party for a monthly premium.
Yeah, Paul, you've really explained the true nature of insurance because, you know, we're all going to pay premiums into an insurance policy, hoping that I die in my sleep and I never use it so that the money can go to pay for your needs. So we're pooling our money together so that in the hopes that someday the money will be there if we need it. And if we don't need it, we've protected against the risk of that expense.
So what's the profile of what people are buying? That's probably way too broad to ask, but is there... If we're looking at 51-year-olds is maybe the sweet spot, but what do they buy? Do they buy with inflation protection at X?
Just briefly, the 51-year-old, on average, they're buying the 4% automatic compound inflation. 56% of them are. The 3-year benefit period is 39%, 5-year is 31%, and the $200 daily benefit amount and 150 is 40%. So they're right in that little mix.
Yeah. You know? Even if you look at our existing block of more than 225,000 people who are currently enrolled, the greatest percentage, I believe it's over 40%, have somewhere between $125 and $225 in terms of daily maximum benefit.
You all have been around, of course, for a while. And listening, of course, I listen to the talks when I do the seminars and I listen to this. I really do listen. And the point being, as one ages, I might be one of those. I'm 63, almost 64. And do you see people starting to come into the fold? I mean, if your sweet spot's 51, what about when does the trail off and stop, us procrastinators? Do you find any more interest now than what you did in the past?
I think a lot of people, and don't forget, we're focusing right now on the actively at work who have not had a chance to apply for the new 2.0 program using abbreviated underwriting. But there are still a lot of people within the federal community and outside it who are buying private long-term care insurance in their late 50s and early 60s. I think these people realize that their risk is not covered by Medicare. They are reading a lot about the huge problems that Medicaid is experiencing, both in trying to pay for health care for people who can't afford to pay or don't have health insurance, as well as nursing home care. And they know that the present system is not likely to continue. They also have seen some significant volatility in the past decade, at least twice, once in 2001, 2002, and then again in 2008 with mortgages that resulted in significant problems throughout the financial markets. So they know that it's not easy to save. So I think a lot of people are looking at this in that age band right up into their mid-60s.
Can somebody get in? This reminds me of the commercial with the Marine that can't swim on the high dive. Have you seen that?
No.
And they said, you're going to jump off of this and he said, I can't swim, and
jumps,
comes up a Marine. Okay. Now, let's say I'm up on that high dive, and down there is the long-term care pool, and I don't want to get in, but if I jump in, and I kind of like the water, can I come in at the low end and then go in the deep end later? Can I upgrade my policy?
Well, you can always request to make changes to your policy, but if you're upgrading your coverage at a later date, we're always going to ask more health questions. We want to make sure that you're insurable if you want more. I always try and have people just spend as much time as possible when they're beginning to look at the policy to try and buy what they want in the very beginning. Sure, you can request to make changes later, but it could be that, say, you apply for more coverage and you're not insurable for that. You will keep what you have. Don't worry. You'll always keep what you have, but you may not be able to adjust as you go. Also, keep in mind that whatever you buy at a later age, that's going to be based on attained age. So if you want to up your daily benefit amount, that extra amount is going to be based on your new age. So your overall blended premium rate will go up as well.
That's right. That's even the case when you look at the future purchase
future
option.
Purchase.
And if you've taken a look at some of the literature, you know, we have a number of graphs that chart the sort of crossover when future purchase option gets to be more expensive. Now, happily with that, you don't have to be underwritten in order to accept a future purchase option inflation increase offer. You don't have to be underwritten. But it is priced attained age. So as Beth says, if you can think through
what you want up front.
And yeah. You know, we have the online consultant tool, which is very good at helping you think about where you live and how much you might need and the kind of services that you can get. I'm happy to mention that it has just won 6 videographer awards in an international competition designed to recognize excellence in video productions. This is sponsored by ProductionHub.com. So obviously, we're not the only ones who think highly of it. And if you go to that tool, you'll get a lot of help in making an informed decision.
I think I saw them on the MTV Video Awards last night.
Well, the online consultant tool, it's available at ltcfeds.com, and it can be used two ways. You can watch it straight through as a video. So if you just want to sit back and take it all in, we'll talk about things like the daily benefit amount, the benefit period, inflation protection, give you the overall scope of coverage. You can also use it interactively. So if you want to pop in and start calculating premium rates, you can do that. And you can also just click through and apply online, too. So it's really...
You teed the next question up just really nicely. We do have a fan base, I believe, and they email us knowing that you all are coming on. And there's a question on page one, and it says, I am a 59-year-old Fed who has LTCIP. Neither of my parents are policyholders. If one or both of them becomes incapacitated and unable to care for themselves, can they derive any assistance from his plan?
I'll take that one. They can certainly derive assistance. Just because this person is a federal employee enrolled in the long-term care insurance program, he or she can contact us at the 800 number, 1-800-LTC-FEDS, request to speak to a care coordinator. That person at the customer service line will take down the name, number, and they'll receive a call back from a registered nurse within 24 hours. And at that point, the care coordinator can work with the enrollee to help work out a plan of care for the parent. Now, that's the sort of assistance we would provide this enrollee: resources, referrals, plan of care development. We wouldn't actually pay for the parent's care if they didn't have a plan with us, but we would be available to provide these this feedback.
It's a nice resource.
We actually receive about 1,000 calls per year from federal enrollees who want assistance with parents and parents-in-law. So it's a nice benefit that's working.
Yeah, and Tammy responded to that and pulled down part of the site and they drilled into that. And Beth, you did too as well, mentioning that you get 1,000 calls a year. So this isn't a really unique only to five people type question.
No,
but it is pretty unique to the federal long-term care insurance program. I don't know of any other long-term care insurance
program that are extending resources
on behalf of the enrollee to family members.
Because if you think about it, these care coordinators are performing the role of basically a geriatric care manager, which are wonderful tools and resource folks out there, but you pay for it. If you don't have this coverage and want to hire one of those folks, there's always going to be an initial consult fee and then an hourly rate if you just want this sort of assistance. So this is available to enrollees.
I thought, too, Tammy, and I think you don't mind me mentioning this. Tell your story, Tammy. And it's actually, I think it's a good story. It's a step one, step two type.
You
and Brian.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because in the first round of open season in 2002, I was all geared up and ready to go. And I had experienced long-term care with my own parents. And my husband saw that, witnessed that. But, in his family, his dad had died very suddenly at a young age, and his mother was hale and hearty in her 80s. Yeah. So he didn't see that he would ever need long-term care. So I went ahead and I bought my policy at age 47, and currently my pool of money, my maximum lifetime benefit is currently valued at about $200,000, should I need care today.
Which will go up every year.
It's going to continue to go up. I got the 4% inflation. No, I think I got the 5% inflation because I bought it back in the days when we didn't have the 4%, and I stayed with that.
And you stayed with that
plan. In the meantime, my husband has discovered he had some heart problems, so he had a serious illness diagnosed since my signing up. And this year, his mother passed away after a two-year trek with my sister-in-law being the caregiver and multiple monthly visits to the doctors and a lot of full-time caregiving, which would have been really nice if she had some long-term care insurance. And my husband now has seen that, hey, this can happen to me too. So this open season, I got him to look at it, and we actually purchased a policy for him. But for about the same, in fact, for $20 more per month, His maximum lifetime benefit is only $146,000. We wanted to keep it about $100 a month. We wanted to spend on premiums, each one of us. So for me, I've got close to $200,000 a month for less than $100 a month.
Yep.
He's got only $146,000 worth of maximum benefit for $111 a month.
Yeah, because you bought
so
it.
So he waited longer.
You bought it at a younger age.
You bought it at a younger age, and of course, the bulk of your benefit was rated at that.
Yeah,
at
so that I see some validity to purchasing this in your 40s if you can wrap your mind around it, if you can afford it. Now, the way we justified it for my husband is he's at the age now at 54 where his life insurance through the government's going to go up extremely high next year.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids are grown. The house is almost paid off. So we've justified the fact that we can lower that life insurance need because we don't have a need for it like we did 20 years ago and put that money towards financing the cost of
that's
this
an
policy.
Excellent point because a lot of people are finding that they're getting into that spot where they don't have the same need for life insurance that they did earlier. Life insurance is largely geared to ensuring that, you know, you'll have a number of years of replacement income, transition replacement income if you die.
Right.
But if you're starting to get beyond that point, then you should be looking both at your health program and, of course, your long-term care.
Mm-hmm. It all ties together. It's all kind of a puzzle that fits together between your retirement savings, your life insurance needs, your health insurance needs, and your long-term care needs. If you can kind of fit that puzzle to something that fits your family's needs, then I think you've got it made.
All righty.
So I'm a true picture of you practice what you preach.
Yeah.
Well, you always have been.
I don't preach it unless I can believe
you
in
preach,
it.
You preach, but you're a doer, too.
I want to be open and honest about it.
Okay. We usually open up the phones. I'm not so sure they're on, but let's try. I'm going to throw out the number, 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. I'm not so sure they're on, but we're on 24/7 if you'd like to email us for FOR, benefit, as in benefit, at nitpinc.com for your benefit at nitpinc.com. So let's hope the phones are on. If not, you certainly can email us. But phone-wise, you got a real powerhouse of people to talk to.
Have two more email questions that came in over the weekend.
And one this morning, right?
I have two here. I think one you didn't even get yet.
Okay. So. Well, get me there.
I will bring those up. Let's go with the first one that you do have. And this one says, this is from Anthony. He's a regular listener of our show, so we want to give a shout-out to Anthony and thank him for listening. But his question is this. It says, is this plan a state-qualified partnership plan? He lives in Virginia, so he wants to know if it's in Virginia because John Hancock's policies are so deemed as partnership plans. Or is OPM leading on having this plan become federally qualified partnership plan, and how long until this is achieved? But I think to answer this for our listeners, they have to understand what does that even mean? What is a partnership plan? Okay. And then answer whether or not the federal plan is part of that.
Okay, let me take that.
Sure.
Tammy. First of all, the partnership plans have been around for more than 15 years. This was an idea that was geared to trying to encourage people to purchase private long-term care insurance and giving them an incentive to shelter part of the assets that they might bring to the time that they would apply for Medicaid, for public assistance. And so the idea is that if you buy a private long-term care insurance policy that's qualified and you use it and you exhaust your benefits, you can then protect or sequester from Medicaid examination the amount that you were paid out through your policy. So let's say you had a policy that was $150,000 and you used it up, you would be able to protect $150,000 in savings and still go forward and be considered for Medicaid, assuming, of course, that you still needed long-term care insurance. Now, the one important difference between the federal long-term care insurance program and every other one out there is the federal long-term care insurance program is federally regulated. It is not regulated by the state departments of insurance around the country, although certainly OPM, as sponsor and regulator, pays very careful attention to what the states do. But OPM establishes the regulations. And these are published through the Federal Register. Because the federal government regulates this program and it's uniform, and because a number of states in recent years have only just begun to establish these partnership programs and publish information on them, the federal program right now, the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program, is technically not considered a partnership policy.
Well, in many of the states that do have partnership policies, because I've been reading up on this too because I get the question, I've found that if you don't use the insurance in that state, you lose the partnership benefit. So in other words, if you bought the policy in Pennsylvania,
right. States can opt
and you
out
end up living in Colorado,
reciprocity.
Yes.
You
well, there's a lot of talk about reciprocity, yeah. But there are very complicated things that have to be resolved in relationship to that.
In your crystal ball, do you see this becoming a nationwide partnership country?
Well, I think that over 40 states now have some form of legislation on the books or regs. Not all of them are as fully developed, and I think that this is something that OPM will be looking at in the future. I can't tell you when. Again, the federal long-term care insurance program is absolutely uniform from Alaska to Maine. Mm-hmm. So whatever we do, it will have to be on a universal basis.
Right. It can't be in one state, not the other.
So technically, now the only other thing I would just mention is that if you're Fed and you have a pension, you may find that you're going to have a little trouble
qualifying for Medicaid in the first place.
Or Medicaid anyway. But setting that aside, I think it will be the intention of OPM to at least look at this matter.
Yeah, looking at it from the government's point of view, from my standpoint, I can see where there would be a reason to do that, because it would encourage more people to buy insurance and keep more people off of the Medicaid rolls, which is such an expensive program to administer.
An email came in this morning at 8:45, and Tammy was good enough to forward it, and it plays a little to this and then something else Paul talked about earlier. It's a two-step question, and it's from Philadelphia. Hi, Philadelphia. What's the last day to apply for long-term care, and would you have 30 days from that day to renew the policy.
Review
the policy. Yeah. Thank you, Glasses. Review the policy to cancel. We talked about that, correct?
Yeah, actually, I'll just reiterate, though. You have until June 24th to apply with your short form abbreviated underwriting. After that, June 25th, you can still always apply. It's just going to be the long form underwriting. So the open season is the June 24th date. And we do have the 30-day free look period if people want to make changes or cancel once they receive coverage.
But the application must be signed. It must be signed and dated June 24th in order to be accepted as an open season abbreviated application.
And you can do that online?
You can.
On June 24th?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The second half plays a little bit into what Paul talked about. This is the investment side of trying to make it do the same thing with investments. Is what is the benefit of having a long-term care policy versus an annuity or other investment that require the activities of daily living? In other words, do I buy the policy or do I buy an annuity? Paul, you talked about just investing, but an annuity for those of y'all that aren't sure what that is other than the federal annuity. An annuity can be a purchased annuity where somebody puts in a certain dollar amount, they put in a certain monthly amount, and it grows tax deferred until some later date. You have to be extremely careful when you're looking at these things. But nonetheless, they're saying, okay, listen, I want to know what the comparability is. And Paul, have at it.
Well, first of all, I guess, you know, there are different kinds of annuities. There are immediate annuities and there are deferred annuities. A lot of people are looking at annuities as a way of guaranteeing an income stream for themselves in retirement. More recently, and that's been the case for a while, more recently people are starting to look at these as possibly a way of funding some kind of long-term care insurance risk. I guess the thing that I would say right away is that if you're going to buy an annuity, you need to be sensitive to the fact that we're in a very low interest rate environment right now. So you need to be careful about locking in a rate, especially if we're talking about a fixed immediate annuity. You need to be careful about locking in a low interest rate Some people will maybe take and buy an immediate annuity and also buy deferred annuities and at a later point so that they can spread some of that interest rate risk out over the years going forward. But in either case, you're going to have to try to match what you're going to get on that annuity to the actual expense risk you're going to be facing in the place that you choose to retire in.
And the more you put up front, the better the chance that you'll get close to it.
That's right.
And you're not talking about small amounts
of money.
You're
talking about significant amounts of money that you would have to be willing right now to come up with and invest in order to make these purchases. So it requires more planning. If you're a planner, if you're a financial type, if you like to model things, this may be for you. If you are not and you don't think you'll be able to discipline yourself to manage these resources actively over the next 20 years, you might be better off transferring your risk to a third party and buying an insurance policy of some kind.
All right.
Beth, I had a question on the claims process. You know,
okay.
So I've bought the policy. The years go by. The day comes when I need care.
Yep.
And it's either going to be me or a family member of mine who's going to be contacting you to say, my mother, my wife, me, sure. I need to go into a nursing home. I need to pay my daughter-in-law to come care for me. How does that work? Is there a form you fill out? Who provides a certification that I actually need the type of care that's required?
The question essentially is, how do I qualify for benefits and get on?
And how difficult is it to receive them?
Mm-hmm. What you should do is call or have your legal representative, which is probably most likely a family member, give us a call. And we'll start the benefit eligibility process at that point. At that point, you'll be working one-on-one with one of those care coordinators. You'll always be working with the same person every time. So it's a real care management situation. But to qualify for benefits, a licensed healthcare practitioner, most likely your doctor, would have to certify that someone needs help with 2 out of 6 basic activities of daily living, for example, bathing, dressing, eating, for example, for a period of at least 90 days for any reason. Or he or she would certify that there's a cognitive impairment. And at that point, the clock starts ticking, you should give us a phone call. And at that point, we'll take a look at the doctor's certification, but we're also going to take a look at some other things. For example, if you've already called someone into the home, we want to see what's going on in the home. Maybe talk to the home care provider to see what sort of care is really needed in the home. Or if a placement's been made to a nursing home, we probably want to take a look at the admission assessment to the nursing home. And we always take the doctor certification unless the supporting documentation doesn't support the certification. Mm-hmm. And we really do need to take a look at all that, because the reality is, you know, I remember my mom would bring her elderly mom to the doctors, and there's not a lot the doctor can see in that 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. He or she doesn't know what's going on in the home. But as I did say the last time I was here, when it comes to claims, we do pay about 98% of our claims. And when it comes to becoming eligible for benefits, the numbers are similar. It's easy once the process begins. As long as we take a look at the documentation, 98% are going to start the process of the waiting period and then get on claim.
It sounds like a very fair evaluation. Because I remember when my father had dementia, there was a social worker who tested him, basically.
Right. Yeah.
I remember her going through a series of questions asking him, do you know what year it is? Do you know the names of your children? Do you know who the president is?
Yep.
And these are questions he couldn't answer because of the depths of his dementia.
For cognitive impairment, that is exactly what we do.
Right.
I mean, when it comes to activities of daily living, it's clear when you can do it or not. But when it comes to cognitive impairment, they would do sort of what we call it a mini mental to see if someone...
But then on the other hand, it's not just needing assistance. Because I remember one time a woman in class told me that her mother was getting forgetful. She'd forget to take her medication, she'd forget to turn the stove off. So they felt it was time to move into assisted living. And her mother had a long-term care policy, not the federal, but one policy. And they were surprised that she couldn't use the policy because she was forgetful. But she could still dress herself, bathe herself, feed herself. She could still drive a car. She was still driving.
Yeah.
So she wasn't at that point where she qualified to use that policy because...
So it sounds like a doctor had not made a certification
at that point
that she was cognitively impaired.
But sometimes it's only a matter of months.
Right, before
and
it progresses.
People will qualify because, unfortunately, these illnesses are progressive. I just like to add that, you know, if a claimant is not satisfied with the assessment, they can go through an appeal process.
Mm-hmm.
And if that appeal process upholds the decision of the insurer, they then can request an independent third-party review.
In your experience so far, how many claims get requested and get approved? Is it a pretty high ratio of those who come in to use their policies that actually get approval?
98%.
98%.
Yeah. So it's not usually a question of...
This is not, as you find in some forms of insurance, very high percentage of claimants are approved. But I'm saying that, you know, you have additional protection because
if you need
if you're not satisfied, you can have the entire file referred to an independent third-party reviewer. And you can and that person who has expertise in the area that pertains to you, the medical area, would make the judgment, and that decision is binding on the insurer.
May I ask a question? It's been a few weeks since you first came. You've been on the road an awful lot. Give me your top two best questions. Not technical, but the question that got the person off the fence.
Off the fence? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
I want to buy, but I don't want to buy. Give me a reason to buy.
You know, I think actually three things. Well, two things. But just showing the ease of purchase, that there's only three decisions to make. And then showing the associated premiums. When we first did this a number of years ago, we asked six decisions. I think people got so confused, they did nothing. Now when they actually take a little time, go through the quick benefit period, daily benefit amount, inflation protection. We always have a handy chart that can show them the premium. Like, oh, it's that easy? Like, yeah, it's that easy. And you can do it online. So that's really been the clicking point for a lot of people.
And I find it helpful to change your birth date on the calculator to see what it would cost if you wait five more years.
Yeah.
So you make yourself older.
Yeah, but I think it's really, again, it's the ease of applying, the ease of the three decisions, and taking a look at the actual cost. And they actually are affordable.
Yes, and Bob, for me, I just came back from the Denver-Fort Collins area, and I talked to a lot of feds out there. And I think that when they take a look at the facts about long-term care, the expense of long-term care, and the fact that it's not covered, if you can get them to look at it, they will sometimes come across and say, yes, I realize this is something I need to do. I've been putting it off.
Okay. How does somebody get in contact with you quickly?
LTCFeds.com or 1-800-LTC-FEDS.
Okay, great. It's been a pleasure both times.
Thank you both.
Especially this time. I'm really learning
this
stuff, Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy.
Right. You're welcome. Thank you for coming.
It's been great. Thank you so much for your time.
Tammy and I will be on next week with, is he a regional vice president or president of NARF?
Yeah, we've got a NARF representative coming in from New York.
Yeah.
He's going to talk to us about what NARF is doing to protect your benefits.
Yeah. So please listen, and thanks for listening today. Bye-bye.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com. Federalnewsradio.com, your source for federal news now.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 AM for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening. Been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee.